There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Good Monday afternoon, October 7th, 2024. It's Grant and Danny coming your way for another Hall & Oates Victory Monday on the Fan, just like we drew it up. Jay Gruden's on the show at 5 to break down Jaden Daniels' fifth career start. We will also have interviews for you today with Benjamin St. Juste at 3 o'clock, Alameda Zacchaeus at 4:30, and Fidarian Mathis at 6. The locals have won 4 in a row. They're not just winning. They are blowing teams out. A month of consecutive victories for the Commanders. They took the fourth quarter off at home yesterday to frolic and enjoy fellowship on the sideline like a preseason game. Marcus Mariota was throwing to Bryson Tremaine in the waning moments.
My feet is up, said the starters. Rest and relax. Enjoy it. That's the fruit of your labors. Whooping that ass for a broken Cleveland team. Now, Cleveland's offense stinks, but Cleveland's defense, I still think, is pretty good. 5 of the first 6 plays were negative plays for Washington. Cleveland turned them over. They pressured. They had penetrating plays where they, whether it's TFLs, I thought they did a good job against every design Jaden Daniels run. They had somebody there. They knew what was coming or how it happened. I thought that defense was pretty good, and they gave up 24 points in the first half. Oh, my God, man. The third down and 13 should have been another drive-ending sack. Sorry, we've got a cheat code. He wears number 5. He's better than your guy. Which guy? All 53 of them. Every trainer, every administrative assistant. He's better than everybody that you got. Sorry about it. That changed the game. I know the turnover happened just after that, but field position is flipped. You get after a 3-and-out for this defense, and all of a sudden start to step up. You get the punt, short territory. You walk in for a touchdown, then never look back. This is so much fun.
Yeah, it's a blast. We'll be discussing the win from all angles all day long on Grant and Danny. You can listen to us all over the DMV on 106.7, on the Odyssey app throughout the day, wherever you go. And, of course, you can watch us on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream. 2-0 at home. You know how you improve the home environment? You
just
win.
Like that.
At Northwest Stadium, where they have yet to lose. They are 4-1 overall for the first time in 16 years. For the second time in 25 years, this team is 4-1. They have not been 5-1 with a showdown with the Ravens looming in Baltimore, Danny, since 1996. What was Danny Ruye doing in 1996?
Junior high school. My hair was probably a little too long to play for Grant Paulson, but I was hitting nukes in summer ball, getting ready to go on all the college showcase tours and get myself recruited.
I was 8 years old. They were 5-1. That was the last time that they pulled it off. It's one thing to be winning. Like, they got to 4-1 under Jim Zorn. In fact, the hip hip array bit that we play for first-time callers on this show was actually from the locker room after they improved to 4-1 after their win against the Eagles in 2008. But that team in those 4 wins, I think, was plus 20 in those games. This team is over plus 50. They are blowing teams out. They are snatching souls. They are dominating teams. And the crowd responded, I thought. What an atmosphere yesterday at the stadium. Predominantly Commanders fans. There was an electricity and kind of this jauntiness among the attendees where it was a refreshing, excited, happy-to-be-there vibe that we're not used to. Danny, there was a damn wave in the stadium. The wave. There's not enough people to do the wave, and certainly not enough home fans to do the wave. There was a wave in the lower bowl. This is not baseball. You're allowed to do the wave in football for several minutes during the laugher when Deshaun Watson, who was completely broken, was just being beat up and thrown around like a ragdoll.
I mean, my goodness gracious. So I'm talking about Washington here, but let me detour. I don't want to tell you about Seattle. Okay? Seattle, a 3-1 team playing against a bad team with some turmoil. That sounds familiar. The 3-1 team, who's maybe a little bit better than people think, had a game against the New York Giants. Should the quarterback be benched? Should the head coach be fired? Is the GM the right guy? What are they doing? This is such a disappointing year. Blah, blah, blah. And what did they do? They did the thing that my Washington team has done to me and all of you guys listening to this program forever, for decades. The little tiny bit of prosperity, a 3-1 record, let's all settle down. Nobody's throwing any parades for that. There's no party for it. There's no trophy for a 3-1 start. You got off to a nice beginning, and you go out and lay an egg, and it becomes, you're in quicksand, and you never are able to recover, and you lose a game, and everyone's gone, same old, same old. And then the belief train is derailed, and that's kind of the end of it, and then you go through a swoon. That's what normally happens when the 3-1 team that I care about plays a bad, beat-up team. Their season gets saved, talking about the bad team. Not this time.
No.
Whatever the opposite of that is, that's what we got. We got sideline laughter. I don't know who that guy Jaden Daniels was talking to for minutes at a time. He was wearing a blue shirt. Seemed like a nice enough guy. But they were just having a fun conversation. He was telling jokes. Probably they were funny, sarcastic jokes, or they're kind of wry out of the side of his mouth. Daniels was laughing and guffawing. Everyone's got sideline laughter going on. They're all doing that thing where they hold their pads with their two hands like right under their chin. That's the, I'm so relaxed that I'm not even thinking about anything other than holding onto my pads.
You're pulling your shoulder pads down so you breathe a little easier.
Yeah, giving your front horse collar kind
of,
you know?
Around the collarbone.
Just kicking their ass.
The offense did not play a sharp first half. Jaden Daniels, who for the game did some of the most incredible quarterbacking, playmaking that we've seen at the position in years and years for this organization, was the least accurate he has been at any point this season.
Mm-hmm.
He threw a bad interception on the goal line. The play before that, he missed a wide-open Zach Ertz for a touchdown. Speaking of open Ertz, Ertz would have scored on a 98-yard touchdown when he was at midfield running free when Washington had the ball at its own goal line on a 3rd-and-10, and Daniels sailed the ball over his head. All of these things in the first half. And yet, it did not matter. None of it mattered. Because at the end of that first half, with all of the things they'd left on the field, with all that meat on the bone, they had 24 points and they should have had 31. And Daniels was on pace to throw for 350. Because he is the easy button. This is something we've talked about for a long, long time in the NFL with other teams and other players. You called him the cheat code, right? That's something we referred to him as the last several weeks on 3rd-and-1, on 4th-and-1. I call him a cheat code. He makes you right. It does not matter if you have a bunch of bad plays if he can make the one huge play. You talked about the negative plays to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
They came out three play, first drive, 3 and out. I think like -9 yards, and then it was 3rd-and-13 with -3 on the next two plays. So basically it was a 5-play disaster start against the Browns defense. And then he should have been sacked for -8, except that he gets out of the pocket. Very few guys in the league can do that. Extends the play and heaves the ball 65 yards downfield for a 66-yard completion. I think it was almost 60 in the air as he was approaching the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable play. Top 5 play I've seen made by a quarterback in that stadium in my life. I've been going to games there since 1999.
And 4 of them were opponents?
I'd have to do some work on the list. Pretty amazing, man.
Yeah.
They ended up with 7 plays of 23 or more yards. That's the whole league.
That's
it's
the key.
Chunk
yep.
yardage. It's explosives. Third straight week with at least 34 points. First time since 2005. And after struggling early on offense, I love the word that Dan Quinn used, and we'll play his press conference live today at 3:30 for you, by the way, right here on Grant and Danny. But he called it a grimy start. They ended up scoring on 6 of their first 10 drives. They are averaging 38 points over the last 3 weeks. Danny, we have reached they don't even have to be sharp to score a lot of points because they make that many big plays down the field. Gains yesterday of 66, 50, 41, 34, 33, and then 2 for 23.
So it's different than we've been seeing the last few weeks. Cleveland had a different plan, a different design. They play a different style of defense. It's in your face. It's trying to maul people. It's pressure. It's blitzing. They're not going to let you breathe, right? So down in and down out, Washington really wasn't able to do what we're used to seeing them do over the last couple of weeks, which is everything seems to go between 4 and 15 yards. Right? Like every little play, they just matriculate down the field, and that's that. This was get stuff for no gain, Jaden Daniels run for 0 or -1 or something. Then, to your point, chunk. When you blitz and over-aggressive, that's why teams aren't doing this as much now, by and large. You can get some negative stuff, which they did. Turnovers happened. There was one, the interception you mentioned. Terry McLaurin had a ball ripped away from him. Should have been another turnover. It was close with Zach Ertz potentially in the middle of the field, where if he caught it securely, might have lost the ball. Who knows? But you get gouged when you do it that way. The Austin Eckler run, for example, everybody's sucked up, and you got a great call, and boom, he's off to the races. With the pressure that ended up with the Downey Brown touchdown, because everyone's mugged up and trying to go press man and getting tight on receivers. They've got counters. So even when it wasn't clean, even when it wasn't, you know, nice and efficient, 72 and sunny playing that 7-on-7, we've seen the last few weeks, it still doesn't matter. They could have scored 50 points yesterday, yeah. Even with that. It reminded me of a college basketball game. If you've got like a really good team and you're playing one of these teams that wants to disrupt you, and you get half court trapped and you get out of your rhythm and you get stymied, and you look up and the half court trapping team is still down 30. Right. You know what I mean? You're like, how did you just do that? Because you hit threes, you get layups. Yeah, you turn it over a time or two, and they got some nice runouts. Yeah. But you look up, and it's like, yeah, keep doing it, jackass. We've got execution.
So in my mind, I'm going, this is the worst this offense has looked. This is not the standard that has been set. This is the regression. And I'm talking about late second quarter, I'm thinking that.
Yeah.
Daniels, you know, with the pick on the goal line, he left the ball inside at one point to McCaffrey. Luke made a hell of a contested catch.
What a catch that was.
That was awesome. He had the deep shot where he sailed the ball to Terry that should have been picked off by 21 down the field, like at the five-yard line, if you remember. And there were a few of those where you're going, it's just not, something's not quite right. The timing's not there. And then as soon as he hit the 41-yarder on a dime throw to Diami Brown, who wins in man, gets behind Emerson, he's all alone, three steps behind everyone, drops the ball into the bucket, kind of easy pitch, easy catch, perfectly done by everybody. They've got 24. And by the way, kudos to Dan Quinn, because right before that, the Browns were running the football. They had this snooze fest of an offense. And Dan Quinn said, these guys suck. I'm going to call a timeout. We're going to get the ball back, and we're going to step on their throat. You want to talk about all these, anybody, anytime, anywhere, you know, we snatch hearts, we step on shins, all this nonsense.
Then do it.
We eat kneecaps. Okay, so let's burn a timeout with 2 minutes left in the half. Let's give the ball back to our offense, and let's go not settle for Austin Seibert. And they went right down the field and took their shot. Supposedly, Daniels, after running out of bounds, while trotting back out onto the field, stops and tells Kingsbury, I got the Army deep here if we want it. Hell yeah, we want it.
Yes, we do.
Why wouldn't we? And they've got 24 and a half where they were just okay.
Yeah.
That's where we are now. Now, every week you're not going to make those explosives. I think I saw a stat somewhere that the best teams in the NFL this season have like 18 plays coming into the week of 20-plus yards. But Washington had 7 of them yesterday. It's a hard offensive half to kind of grade, and you're picking nits and you're looking at the plays. Just crumble up the paper. Throw the notes away. 24 points, man. That's the whole point of the game, is the big plays. Doesn't matter if you miss this, you miss that. That assignment was wrong. This guy dropped this. Who cares? Those huge plays are the whole league, and they make them now. How about defensively yesterday?
Yeah, man.
Now, caveat, Deshaun Watson is broken.
Yes.
And is a gross watch.
Mm-hmm.
He is getting sacked on 24% of blitzes. The league average is 9% of blitzes. His yards per attempt right now, Danny, is 4.8. Bryce Young last year was 5.5. This Browns offense is worse than the NFL via DVOA, and in fact, it's the eighth worst offense since 1979 via that metric. So they're going to make you look a little better, but that's the end of the making excuses for why the defense looked like it did.
Yeah, you feast on a bad opponent. I've seen them not do that plenty.
1,000%.
Right?
Take a bow, Joe Witt, Dan Quinn, everybody involved. 7 sacks. Worst team defensively on third down in the NFL coming into the game, Washington. 12 for their first 12 on third down getting off the field. You knew Deshaun Watson wasn't going to beat you. What's the plan? Stop the run. 14 yards on 8 carries, I think, before the half. They finished the half with the Browns having under 70 yards. They led by 25 and had 30-some points at one point, and the Browns still didn't have 90 yards. Everybody feasted. And by the way, Frankie Louvu, what a badass.
That's a bad man.
I love watching him play. One of my favorite Commanders, Washington footballers, Redskins organization, whatever the hell we're going to call the totality of this outfit. I like him as much as I've liked anybody, I think, over the last 20 years, the way he plays. He is exactly what I dream about for my defensive heart and soul guy. He was awesome.
He was terrific. This is the thing that we thought we were getting. Not, I mean, you can't do that every game, obviously. He was all over the stat sheet. He was incredible. But that, where's he lining up this play? This play, it's a blitz. This play, he's beating a guard. The next play, he's, you know, in the flat. The next play, he's doing something totally different. That kind of Swiss Army knife ability. I mean, he had so many crooked numbers, right? Recovered the fumble, three different QB hits, the 2.5 sacks, the 7 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. One man wrecking crew.
How about the 4th-and-1 opening drive stop where he slices into the backfield, gets just enough of the ball carrier to chop him down.
Totally. And if he doesn't, I mean, even if the guy is able to keep his feet, it gave the other players on the team a chance to be able to stop him just short. If possibly, maybe not. But the point is, he disrupts the play. That's the thing. That's what defense is to me. It's the, you bend but don't break enough times, and then somebody's got to pop one. Somebody's got to do some kind of disruptive thing, whether you draw a holding penalty, it's a TFL, then you put someone in a bad down and distance. And he did that himself, basically, yesterday, a handful of times.
It was such a blood-in-the-water game, too, defensively, where Watson was so broken and so inept in the pocket.
Yeah.
And just so...
Everybody's so comfortable.
Lethargic. Who gets the sack? I mean, we literally saw two defensive players play rock, paper, scissors to see who got to stay on the field to try to get him on the next play.
Mm-hmm.
Payne and Allen in the middle of the field playing rock, paper, scissors to see who had to leave. That's the kind of game we were watching yesterday.
That's
as
what it was.
Today, Dan Orlovsky has said on ESPN that Washington is going to go to Super Bowls because of Jaden Daniels. Plural, by the way. That's something that was said on national television.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Florio wrote a piece today on Pro Football Talk laying out the path to Jaden Daniels winning the MVP award as a rookie. Something that only Jim Brown has ever done previously. Those are the conversations being had nationally today, Danny.
Normal. I don't see the big deal. Through 5 games, this is what you normally do. It's not that I'm normally, what's October 7th? Usually I'm looking at that first Mel Kiper mock, then whoever else wants to put one out. I'm trying to figure out, you know, if we're going to finish bad enough to get a quarterback.
Who's Washington going to get with the 29th pick?
Yeah, how about that?
Which is where they are right now.
Who's available late 20s?
That's where the teams that play in the championship game draft, that's where they are slated to
pick.
My
goodness.
Based on the standings today, they are really, really good. And I can't wait for the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. I saw a tweet that was getting passed around. I don't remember who it was, but a Commanders fan said, I want to binge watch this team. I'm ready for the next episode. Like, give me the next game right now. That's how they felt last night. But we are at a point where the conversations you can responsibly have today, and no one can make fun of you. You could say it's too early or you guys are overreacting, but you can't tell me that these things aren't on the table. Is this the best offense in the NFL? That's a real conversation.
It's a question.
How many teams are actually better than Washington right now in football? It's less than 5, by the way. Where would you rank them based on just blind ballot, 5 weeks of football so far this season? How high? Because if there's 3 podiums, they might be on one of them at this juncture. Danny, they're at a point where they could go 6-6 and still finish 10-7 and make the playoffs. And it would feel right now, this moment, as we talk today, like a massive letdown if they go 6-6.
Yeah, they started hot and kind of cooled off down the stretch, and they won 10 games. Can
if
you imagine?
10-7 right now, that's a letdown based on the way they're playing. There is a regression. We'll go back and dissect what went wrong after week 5.
Mm-hmm.
Uncharted waters. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, I said this last week, and I still think it applies today. I have no idea where this goes. Like, there's still a couple splinters in my mind where I'm going, yeah, maybe somebody figures out Kingsbury's offense as they've done each of the last couple times he's been an OC or in charge or whatever. Maybe somebody makes it more difficult for him or, you know, an injury, God forbid, but this is the sport where injuries are king. It happens all the time. A couple things that, you know, make it become unsustainable. Who knows? I know this. Binge watch is perfect. That's what's happening right now. I used to literally, I'm not kidding you, not look forward to games. That's the, I'm obviously a fan. I care so much. It's part of the gig. I'm not going to watch them. I was like, okay, this is a chore. This is the thing I have to do this week.
Grab your notebook. You plop down on the couch and you go, all right, See what happens here.
Let's get some food for my feelings.
Here we go.
And now I'm just, you know, during commercial, like, and then you know what happened? They handed that Eckler, and it didn't matter that Robinson's knee was banged up, and Eckler just went right down the field and almost scored a touchdown. Oh, then it was fourth and three, and it was, honey, come in, listen. It was fourth and three, and the guy almost sacked Daniels in the backfield, but then he just head-faked him, and he ran for 34 yards. It was so much fun. And then later, Terry McCoy could have scored a touchdown, but he didn't catch it. It didn't even matter because they were already up by 30. Oh, you know what else happens? Frankie Louvre had a sack. All right, another sack. You guys, come watch. It's never happened before. Since I've had this family, it hasn't happened.
Here we go. Is all I could think. Let's go have a football season. I mean, it's just incredible to me that we're here this fast 5 weeks in. I've been texting with some people organizationally, the very, very top, and throughout the front office. And one of the things you hear is, you know, they're all doing a really good job kind of downplaying that nothing's given out after 5 weeks. There's no hardware, there's no trophies. It's just a nice start. But they're all, I think, not only very happy, that goes without saying, pretty stunned with how this thing's coming together this quickly. You got to be hopeful, but I don't think any of them really had this in the office pool. Danny, NBC News,
mm-hmm.
over the weekend, tweeted out, Hurricane Milton rapidly intensifies into Category 5, a couple of other things that are going on in the country, and then tweeted this. Washington Commanders punter Tress Way is one of the best in the NFL at his position. But thanks to a historically good offense, he's barely had to run onto the field this season. I don't know why. I didn't watch it or read it. NBC News did a story on the fact that the Commanders offense is really, really good. Not NBC4. Not Kerwin and JP.
Can you imagine?
NBC News. It is happening, ladies and gentlemen. Your dreams are coming true.
Ho-hum.
Years and years and years of going, what if I had a different owner?
What if I had a general manager? What would he be like? What would he look like? Might he be handsome?
Thinking maybe you could have a quarterback. Thinking maybe your team could be the envied team in the sport. In front of our eyes. It's not a mirage. The Commanders are 4-1. How you feeling? We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. What are you feeling right now? What are your emotions today as you walk around with your chest out, proud to be a fan of this football team for the first time in so long? We got Benjamin St. Juiced at 3, Alameda Zacchaeus at 4:30, Jay Gruden at 5, Fidarian Mathis at 6. A little bit of a Victory Monday party on G&D on the Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Up and a lot of man coverage all day.
Looking that direction, here comes pressure again. Two Browns ran into each other. Daniels uncorks a deep shot. It's McLaurin inside the 5.
Silly Jason Benetti on the call. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. That was the Fox telecast yesterday. The Commanders have won 4 in a row. They're 4-1. They're one of the best teams in football. Today, we'll talk to Benjamin St. Juiced coming up at 3, Alameda Zacchaeus at 4:30, Fidarian Mathis at 6, and Jay Gruden's weekly Monday appointment to break down Jaden Daniels. We'll go in detail with the former head coach at 5 o'clock. This Ravens week is shaping up to be a juicy one. And I don't just mean on the field, where the top two rushing offenses in the National Football League will go head-to-head, but on this show as well. Tomorrow, we've got Lewis Riddick of ESPN at 3 o'clock. And Austin Eckler of your Commanders, who had a 33-yard screen catch a 50-yard run, a 10-yard run where he should have lost yards on a fourth down that set up the first score of the game. He was a monster yesterday.
He's so good. He's so good with the football in his hands. Everybody who said he lost a step should have to smack themselves in the forehead and post it on socials.
The question for you guys at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. What are you feeling today? What emotions are you feeling?
Pride. It's that simple. Where it's just, it's not that embarrassment, not that hanging my head going, I'm a Washington fan. No. Everybody likes me now. Everyone's got me as the center of attention. Everyone cares about me and my team. We're all a buzz. It's not the negative national conversation. It's the positive one. It's a simple thing where I go, I'm watching a team that's good and knows what the hell they're doing. Pride.
For me, it's disbelief, I would say. Kind of shock, maybe. I keep waiting. This will be a dated reference that a lot of young people won't get. But real ones know. I keep waiting for like Ashton Kutcher to walk out. Be like, you thought that was your team doing that for real?
Damn, Jackie!
And it's just been a big several-week ploy. It's like the Truman Show that everybody's mm-hmm. in on. Yeah. And they're like, no, dude.
No.
Your team's 1-4. Here's the games that they've actually played.
Uh-huh.
But that's not going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Because they're 4-1.
That's right.
And it's the real deal Holyfield. Let's go to Mo and Largo on Grant and Danny. What's up, Mo?
Hey, Mo.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, bud.
So I just want you guys to brace yourself, all right? You asked how I feel, so I'm going to tell you how I feel. I feel like as presently constructed, based upon the way they are playing now in comparison to the other teams out there in the NFL, this team is good enough to go to the show. I believe it.
The show like to come watch me and Danny do our
you
show?
You know what I'm talking about, GP. You
Which
know
one?
What I'm talking about.
Say it.
The playoffs.
Mo, say
You're
it.
Talking about the playoffs.
You know what
say
I'm
it,
talking
Mo.
About, fellas. I told a man in the gas station yesterday, I was literally in line, and I turned around kindly, I smiled at him, and I said, you know what, brother? We going to the show. I feel like the team is good enough to go to the Super Bowl, gentlemen.
There it
I really
is.
Do.
Oh,
there it is.
The Super Bowl.
There it is.
I really do. Now, I get it. It's early. And honestly, I've never felt like this before, and I might not feel like this in 3 weeks. So I'm going to say it while I feel it.
Say
okay?
it.
So
say it with your chest.
It is, gentlemen. That's what it is, gentlemen. And let me tell you something. I work in an office out of Arbutus, Maryland, where my entire office is nothing but Ravens fans. And I wore my jersey in there with pride today, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Dear pride. And, you know, trust me, they all talking ass right now. And, I'm sitting there and I'm like, y'all real confident for a team that just struggled with a team that we handled. You know what I'm saying? Y'all did lose to the Raiders earlier this season. You know what I'm saying? And then I asked them flat out. I said, how would you feel if you lost? You know, and they were like, oh, man, they were hurt. That would suck. And I said, you know what? If we lost, it wouldn't be that bad.
Mo, I want you to walk into that office tomorrow, and I want you to do that whistle. That Omar whistle walking through the neighborhood.
Omar coming.
We're coming. Hey, Baltimore, knock, knock. The boys are coming. Stringer Bell might have said it better. I want you to get the word out. We're back up.
We back up.
Let them know, Mo. Say it with your chest. Now, listen. This is a Saturday Night Live sketch to an extent.
Okay.
We're talking about Super Bowl.
Yeah.
In the nation's capital after 5 weeks. But if not now, when? What's the point of any of this?
Right.
Here is my point. Who's better than them? Right now, definitively. Are the Vikings decidedly? I know they're 5-0. They looked like crap for most of that game against the Jets in London yesterday. Are the Chiefs, who can barely move the ball at this point, 4-0, they'll find a way to win again because that's all they do. They're inevitable. Their tight end's 100. They don't have receivers. Their running back's hurt. They signed a running back, Kareem Hunt, 7 days ago, who's going to start tonight. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
They're decidedly better. Now, I'm not telling you Washington wouldn't lose to any of these teams or that they can't beat any of these teams. What I am saying is the way they're playing right now, the way this offense is humming, the way Kingsbury's designed this thing and is calling plays, because you've got Jaden Daniels doing the things that he's doing, you have a shot every single week. And nobody's going to want to play this team right now. This could all change over the next week, 2-3 weeks, and we should act accordingly. But in this moment right now, It's not crazy to sit here and say it will be disappointing if they go 6-6 and finish 10-7. It will be disappointing if they don't win the division. That they are every bit as good as almost every other team in football. Those are all fair comments right now, this moment.
Yeah, this minute. And I think the point is, two things can be true. One, right now, they're pretty damn good. And in 2 months, they may not be. I mean, who knows? Who knows what the one player that they can't afford to lose, and we don't know who that is yet. I thought it was Eckler, by the way. Going into Arizona, wrong. They won 42-14 without him, right? I thought, okay, there might be a struggle here. Who knows? Maybe they can't afford to lose Sam Cosser, Andrew Wiley, or somebody who gets banged up or something happens that's a point of no return. We have no idea yet, and everything could change. The league could figure them out. Point is, right now, this minute, they're as good as anybody in this league. Let's take on all comers.
Dan's in Purcellville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. I got three feelings. One is euphoria, obviously. Two is trepidation. Danny just hit on that. You know, a good injury, I mean, not a good injury, but a key injury can change everything. And we know what the keyest injury could be. Mm-hmm. And we have experienced that with a quarterback who had us all excited. But the third one is I have excitement in a way related to what the Patriots did back when they had a defensive-minded coach. They had a young quarterback who turned out to be everything and then some. And then they had this general manager in sync with the owner and the head coach where the personnel decisions were immaculate. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks. Yeah, Adam Peters has to be feeling pretty good today. I bumped into him in the locker room yesterday, and I said, not a bad start. He had a big old smile on his face. He's got to be feeling himself because you go through not only the draft picks and how they're playing, but the free agent early return wins, Luvu, Eckler, Wagner, Biotish has been fantastic. Allegretti's been good. Noah Brown didn't play yesterday, but been awesome. Zacchaeus, Ertz, Armstrong. It's just base hit after base hit after double after triple after homer. The guy's batting pretty close to 1,000. Euphoria was the feeling at the stadium yesterday. It's also a TV show. I love Sydney Sweeney's work in Euphoria. I just wanted to say.
As an actress?
Oh, she's incredible.
Right.
How did she not win awards for her work in Euphoria?
There are awards that were given out, but they're not the mainstream ones that you're thinking of.
800-636-1067 is the number. The question for you guys is, what are you feeling today? And what are we supposed to do with our hands? Grant and Danny, 4-1 Commanders, celebrating on the Fan. We'll give out game balls at the top of the hour. Grant and Danny on a Hall & Oates victory Monday on the Fan. One excellent moment for everyone maybe other than Mr. Hoo-Hey yesterday. People who enjoy fun and good moments of revelry. Danny, did you see after Brian Robinson's touchdown? I don't know if it was the first one or the second one.
It's hard to keep track.
I think it was the second one. But he's got 5 already, and that does tie his career high as we sit here after 5 weeks. He didn't even play in the second half, and he had 2 rushing touchdowns. Would have had more. He scores, gets into the end zone, and proceeds to walk to the back of the end zone, where Major Tutty just walks into the end zone, just so casually onto the field of play, and extends his hand for a handshake, and B-Rob's like, brothers don't shake
brothers
hands.
Brothers hug.
Brothers got a hug.
What a terrible moment.
And he brings in Major Tutty. Some would say in the symbolic moment of the Commanders really being embraced with a hug.
That's what happened.
The name, the organization. I got people texting me telling me they got people on both sides of them at the stadium yesterday cutting off tags of Jaden Daniels jerseys after halftime yesterday, after the big play to McLaurin. The hug of your guy, my guy, our guy, Major Tutty.
That big old pudgy pig for no reason. Yeah, it's over, by the way. For everybody who's keeping score at home, it's over. Like, this is the name, man. Sorry. Like, the line was around the block yesterday to buy stupid new gear for this stupid name. Those of us that are fighting this, it's over. I'm going to keep enjoying the football part of it, but just know that the little ember that was being stoked every now and again when Josh Harris was like,
it's not our current priority in the moment, but we're aware of it and we're looking at details and we know the name blows and everyone who likes it's a
Josh rube. Harris hates the name too.
Yeah,
but Mitch Rails doesn't like the name. But I think they all knew if we could kick this can down the road just a little bit and maybe we hit the jackpot on the quarterback with the draft coming up in the second pick. Maybe it's one less thing we got to worry about.
Well, that can's not kicked down the road.
That, hell of a lot of money.
That can was put into a rocket launcher and shot miles away.
Danny, back to the bigger picture point here, the thing that is so significant. It's not the name. It's not the future of the name.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's the embracing of Major Tutty by Brian Robinson. My kids were fired up.
Oh, I know they were.
Die. The mascot hug. I always love mascot shtick under the goalposts. Like, there's a missed field goal, and the guy just, like, drops his head into his hand. Like, how is a mascot not hilarious? This big, fat pig. It looks like me, but with a pig head. Just a big, squishy pig. He just walks out there like, Mr. Robinson, can I have a hug? And he's like, of course you can, Tutty. Come over here. And he kind of, he like kissed him a little bit. Like they he didn't, but his face mask was touching.
Like a little bit.
Tutty's nose for some reason. The embrace is the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was so good.
The touchdown was great.
What do I have to do to get you to give Major Tutty a hug? If I can arrange with the Commanders to get Major Tutty in here on Monday, Monday if they beat the Ravens, can we get a video of you hugging Major Tutty?
Words like scholarship for my kids comes to mind.
Okay.
So if you are able to guarantee me in writing that their higher education is paid for, I'll embrace that diabetic pig. I don't care.
Drab licked a toilet seat or something today. Yeah. I think he might have kissed the toilet seat because he said there's no way they score 30 in a win against Jim Schwartz and the Browns. So he had to do it. This coming week, I'm not suggesting, like a lot of people keep sending us notes at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny, that you put your left hand up.
Uh-huh.
And you sing.
I've caught a lot of those.
Who
yeah.
are we?
Yeah.
They're like, what do we have to do to get?
By the way,
Danny
people
do
stopped doing that now, haven't they? Haven't they stopped doing the stupid, the embarrassing thing?
No, they're still in.
Really, I just don't see as much of it anymore. So I'm hoping that it died out and everyone has the appropriate amount of cringe and shame.
They actually performed yesterday on the concourse.
Yeah, they're at the stadium.
Pre-game.
We were walking around Cincinnati. People were going,
"Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Who are we?" And people would throw their left hand up. It's a thing, man. But more importantly, back to the task at hand.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry.
I'll get Major Tutty here. I'll do the hard part.
Please don't do that.
I'm going to coordinate.
What a waste of time and resources.
I want you to give Major Tutty a hug if the good guys get to 5-1.
And I want a metabolism. See what happens first. Don't do that. That's a waste of time and energy and effort. I will not embrace it. I'll not embrace him. I'll not embrace it, whatever the it is. I'm out.
Darius, I'm having a great time watching football. Major Tutty a hug if we get him in here?
Are you kidding me? Absolutely. That's my guy.
Wrap those paws around that big fella.
That's my guy.
What about you, Clary? He doesn't have any Ozempic or Wegovy. He's still diabetic right now. We gonna give him a big hug?
We're going to give him a big old hug for Major Tutty. I love Major Tutty.
Major Tutty's a little bit silly.
Is he?
I think he's a great mascot. The little helmet. He's like half cute, half funny. I don't know if he's supposed to be funny or angry or yeah. I don't know what he is.
I don't either. I don't know what he is either. Again, what's the animal? See what I'm saying? Like,
it's a hog.
Yeah. Why? They're not the Hogs.
The Hogs.
Well, I know who they are, but that's not the team name.
They're paying homage to the old thing.
You see, it's a stupid
commander,
name.
It's a hog wearing a commander helmet.
Oh, now it clears it up. That makes a lot of sense.
For people that want it to be cleared up, it does.
No.
People who are just being obstinate for the sake of doing it,
everyone needs to admit it is at best confusing, at worst an insulting, pandering bit of nonsense.
And then admit that Brian Robinson hugging him after his second touchdown was outstanding.
What also sealed the deal. Again, it's over now.
Was the moment.
Yeah, it's the symbolic
the
end.
Brian Robinson hug of Major Tutty, and now the name will never change.
Yeah, pretty much. It's that, and then the line around the block at the dumb team store with gear with the dumb team name on it.
The only thing that would have been better than that, and also more anger-inducing for Danny, is if Brian Robinson would have ripped his helmet off in the end zone and been penalized. Wouldn't have mattered because the Browns couldn't have done anything.
I was going to say, what are they going to do with it?
Would have put one of those big, fluffy hats on that he wore in the locker room all the time, those big, fat hats.
Yeah, that's gone away, right, thankfully?
Those are gone.
That's right.
But if he put that around, spun it backwards like Coach Bro, Sergeant Slogan, and then he gave a hug to Major Tutty with the big hat, the stuffed animal hat on.
Yeah, that would have been a 10 out of 10.
That would have been even better. Can we hide one of those under the goalpost like a Sharpie in the Salvation Army bucket? or something in the end zone.
What was the Saints receiver, Joe Horn? Joe Horn, who did the celly. So you want to hide at one of those giant stupid hats. By the way, good luck hiding that thing anywhere.
Put it in the back of the end zone, or just have Major Tutty toss it to him.
Yeah, those stupid things are visible from space.
He scores every week. So let's bring Major Tutty to Baltimore. Let's have him under the goalpost. He tosses him the big hat. B-Rob puts it on, and they do a big embrace.
Or let's get a bonfire together and put all those oversized hats in it.
We don't have to do that.
And the original recording of one of my hands going in the air.
Game balls to the best. I don't even know if we need to give out any gassers. We can try to find one or two, but this is a game ball kind of day. The Commanders are 4-1. Ravens week getting started, but we're still looking back at yesterday's domination of the Cleveland Browns. A fourth quarter that Washington didn't need. Fans left with 10 minutes to go, not because they were so angry, but because there was nothing left to see. Because they came, they saw, they conquered, and their bourbon was waiting for them in the parking lot so that they could clink glasses and talk about how great their football team is. Game balls, gassers, next on G&D on the Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.